Welcome to BookSpeak, a chance for members of our audience to review a favorite book on the air. Both of our reviews today come from listeners from Muncie.
A fly fishing mentor once told me years ago that this piscatorial pursuit is actually about much more than catching fish. In fact, reading about fly fishing can be just as enjoyable as being waist deep in a Montana river, or even Muncie's White River, to think more locally, casting a fly at a hopefully hungry fish. The rich literature on fly fishing ranges from such works as Isaac Walton's 17th century treatise on angling with a fly to more modern classics like Norman MacLean's novella, A River Runs Through It. I first read MacLean's moving account of his family and growing up in western Montana in the years around World War I when it was first published in 1976. It is certainly the book that first got me interested in Montana, a place of wonder and grandeur which has become in many ways a second home. The novella is primarily Norman MacLean's reflections on his relationship with his younger brother Paul and their father. The important part that fly fishing plays in their relationship is summed up in the story's opening paragraph. In our family, there was no clear line between religion and fly fishing. We lived at the junction of great trout rivers in western Montana, and our father was a Presbyterian minister and a fly fisherman who tied his own flies and taught others. He told us about Christ's disciples being fishermen, and we were left to assume, as my brother and I did, that all first-class fishermen on the Sea of Galilee were fly fishermen, and that John, the favorite, was a dry fly fisherman. The Reverend MacLean teaches his sons to cast a fly and how to catch trout. Paul is quite frankly the natural, the truly gifted fly fisher, and Norman and his father marvel at his skill and daring as only a brother and father can. You'll have to read the novella to find out how all these fly fishing-based family relationships play out. What all this means to Norman as he looks back from the vantage point of old age is best expressed in the story's final paragraph, words now widely quoted and known to legions of today's fly fishers. Eventually, all things merge into one, and a river runs through it. The river was cut by the world's great flood and runs over rocks from the basement of time. On some of the rocks are timeless raindrops. Under the rocks are the words, and some of the words are theirs. I am haunted by waters, and so am I. I'm Warren Vanderhill.
The Vietnam War just won't go away. I teach a course on it at Ball State, and it's always over-requested. The last time I Googled the topic, I got over 15 million hits. Thousands of books and articles have been written on the subject. To me, one book stands above all the others, Tim O'Brien's novel, The Things They Carried. The author, who served in the Army in Vietnam in 1969, is both the writer and the main character in a series of 22 interconnected short stories. He focuses on one platoon of soldiers who experience both the horrors and boredom of war. They kill, they die, they even play practical jokes in rear areas. What separates this novel from almost all of the other books I've read about the war is O'Brien's fierce commitment to ambiguity, confusion, and uncertainty. The reader is treated like an adult who can inhabit a world that is never black and white, always shifting. For example, in one chapter, Tim, the character, tells the tale of when he killed his first enemy soldier. He recounts the incident in excruciating detail, even creating an imaginary backstory of the young man's life before the war. In a later story, however, Tim reveals that he actually never killed anyone, but is complicit because he was there as a witness to death. Like the war itself, the novel is chaotic, jumping across time and perspective, bridging past, present, and future. Above all, Tim O'Brien wants us to realize the truth of any war story is inevitably elusive, and that anyone who has experienced war can never escape it. The characters, including the author himself, have all lost innocence. And Tim O'Brien, the author, can recapture shadowy portions of that innocence only through his stories. Like the Ancient Mariner, he grabs us by the arm and forces us to listen. I'm Tony Edmonds for BookSpeak.
You too can review a book on the air. Visit bsu.edu/IPR for details. Support for BookSpeak is provided by Casella's Kitchen of Muncie, the Edward Jones offices in Anderson and Pendleton, and Patchwork Perennials of Hartford City. Join us again next Wednesday at noon for another edition of BookSpeak.